All right, so let's test if you have a photographic memory so you can think about what you just saw. So my name is Ruanita Ferrizzi. So everybody knows me by Johnny. I'm with University of Florida at the Indian River Research and Education Center. And most of the colleagues over here know me by the grapefruit research I've started at the IREC, but today I'm going to talk about oranges. So one of the most interesting materials I've found about oranges is how important that industry is to Florida. So most of you enjoyed your orange juice this morning, and our industry is valued in more than $8 billion. So this figure here can shows you different examples where we can fit our production inside cruise ships, the Gators Stadium, Olympic swimming pools, and that is just to illustrate the importance of that industry to the state. So basically we have employment, opportunities, we have jobs, we have income, we have taxes. But as Ed already indicated to the people that are not aware, so the industry is facing a major problem, and that's HLB. So that disease is devastating our industry and really changed the way we know citrus production in Florida. So up to date, unfortunately, there is no cure for the disease. So what I'm going to cover today are alternatives to keep the existing groves alive while the breeding programs help us with potentially tolerant materials. So we can really take the same slide that Ed showed and divide the citrus production acreage in yield in basically two different phases, pre and post HLB. So the hurricanes did change all of the production over time. So basically the last season even showed more alarming numbers, so we are really desperate to look for a way to either control the psyllid and basically solve the HLB problem. So most of you have heard about the agent that is transmitting the disease, which is the Asian citrus psyllid, as you can see here in these pictures. And they are spreading the disease that is bringing those symptoms that you can see on this side of the slide. So blotchy mottle, canopy thinning, fruit drop, changing colors, and abnormal fruit production, and off flavor in the juice that we are currently experiencing. So this problem is also affecting the root system. So basically on this figure here we have a healthy tree. We have a healthy tree with a health root system, and then on the other side, so same age, same material, so we can see that the root system is compromised. And that is one of the core information for this research, because we know that a smaller root system will limit water and nutrient uptake. And basically, we have a lot of effects on tree growth, and also we understand that if we improve the water and fertilizer supply due to the fact that the root system is compromised, so we may increase the use of those two elements under the HLB situation we are facing. So we hypothesized that higher tree density, constant nutrient supply, and more efficient irrigation systems, they can increase fruit yield per area under high HLB pressure. So a very simple hypothesis, and basically we came up with a study to evaluate the effect of tree planting density, fertilization method, and irrigation system combinations on sweet orange fruit yield and quality. So we were not able to have a truly factorial study, but we combined multiple approaches in order to identify which one would be more feasible. So we started a study with Valencia's on Kuharski's about 5 years ago. So it is a very large field trial, and the experimental design and the treatments we tested are quite simple. So we basically have three treatments, as you can see. So we do have a combination of standard tree spacing with dry granular control release fertilizer application and microsprinkler irrigation. So that's the standard practice for orange production in Florida. So then we created two treatments with higher density plantings. So we have what we call the high density staggered, and that's in diamond set, so trees are in zigzag, so within the same row. And on both treatments, we use different approaches. So we use fertigation on the high density, but we vary the irrigation system. So we have microsprinkler and drip irrigation. So then we are comparing the standard with those two higher efficiency systems. So the experimental design was a completely randomized block design with 8 replications. Remember that number, because we will talk about that soon. So this is how the standard treatment looks like. So one row with single row trees, and then we also have a representation of the high density staggered in diamond setting. So we have 4 rows per bed on this particular treatment combination. Our results are straightforward. So since this is a study focusing on cultural practices, so we can see in all graphs we will have first the standard followed by the two higher density treatments, and then we will have the microjet and the drip irrigation. And we have different parameters that we collected over time. So first of all, you can see how the disease progressed over the course of the last 5 years, okay? So 100% of the trees are infected after 5 years only. So that was also indicated by the CT value that we determined. So it's pretty straightforward and known by everyone that something between 3 and 4 years we will have all our trees infected in the field. So luckily trees grew over time, so we can see the pattern. Trees, so also something very normal. However, we can see an interesting pattern here where the trees under the higher density plantings, they reached a plateau, while the trees with more space in between continue growing. So this was, of course, expected. So this happened with trunk caliper and canopy volume, even though we noticed that the high-density treatments, they reached a plateau a little bit earlier than trunk caliper. So over here, we didn't run any stats here yet, but this ties into what we are doing related to the nutritional studies in Florida. So primarily, everything that is in between the two dashed lines are in the optimal range. So we did have a higher leaf concentration of phosphorus and a low concentration of calcium and magnesium. even though we followed the IFA's recommendations, truly indicating that we are revising those recommendations, and that's really necessary. So the same applied for the micronutrients, and it was very interesting to see that the copper levels were way higher than the optimal value because of the constant applications we do to control canker, which is a major problem at the Indian River district. So we can see how low the other micronutrients were, iron, manganese, and zinc, truly justifying changing the recommendations to accommodate the needs of the trees. And I think one of the most important slides that I have to show you is the yield. So you see a sequence of slides that look like the same. Basically, we have two seasons, the two last seasons where we collected the data. And you will see this indication here, Hurricane Irma negative effects. Unfortunately, that really added more problems to even challenging time for our industry. So we had something about 60 to 70% fruit drop. So the numbers are can be misleading over here, even though you will see the similar trend over the last two seasons. So for that reason, I'm presenting those data to you. So it is easy to note that the high density plantings indeed increase yield. We do have a very high density, so it's more than the double, so we are close to 400 trees per acre compared to 145 on the standard. So this basically is related to the fruit size distribution as well, even though there were no statistic difference between them. So we can clearly see a pattern of having larger fruit in the higher density settings, at least for the first years of plant development. So there was no difference in total number of fruit. And in the fruit diameter, we also noticed that for those particular, this particular year, basically we had the high density plantings resulting in larger fruit. So the same treatments also had higher soluble solids content, which it is tied into the yield. So we present you the pound solids per acre in a minute, basically indicating that we have ways to improve the income to growers by playing with density. So the same treatments were also higher in acidity compared to the standard. And this had an effect in ratio because that's directly proportional to those two last parameters. So this one is what growers are really interested on. So they want to know the amount of pounds solids per acre based on their yield. And we did find a similar trend on both years with the two higher density treatments showing higher yield on that. So we can really conclude that staggered higher density plantings, they did result in higher fruit yield and quality, producing more than three times soluble solids per area, and then representing a very important advantage to the fruit processing industry. However, I wanted to point out that labor cost, the challenges in controlling weeds, and the long-term growth effects on those particular plantings, they still under evaluation, so we are not making that recommendation for growers. Just would like to tell you that on top of that large trial, so we did split the area in two, in basically applied a new approach with higher micronutrients for the last season only, so we didn't see any significant difference yet. And we also used another portion of the same area to screen 7 different antibiotics that are known by its effectiveness on controlling the bacteria. So for the first year, we didn't see any difference yet. We do have, we do have multiple treatments, and we can talk about that later on. So I think I don't have time for questions. Thank you.